Welcome to Carmen Madrid's podcast. Are you preparing for the Delhi B2 or C1 exam? This podcast is made just for you. Carmen Madrid is an accredited examiner from the Instituto Cervantes and your new tutor for this exam. Each episode features a conversation between two speakers generated using advanced AI technology. These conversations are about a previous episode of a Spanish podcast on the Delhi B2 and C1 exams. But that's not all. We offer a range of services to support your learning journey. One-on-one and group Spanish classes, books for Delhi preparation to help you study effectively, exclusive access to the News Club and Reading Club, plus our advanced grammar workshop to deepen your understanding of Spanish. You can find everything at DelhiExam.com. Join us in taking your Spanish to the next level. I'll leave you with my AI friends. Enjoy.
So today, we're not just summarizing a topic. We're going after something a bit more specific. High-value strategies for mastery.
We are, and we're taking on a really big challenge, cracking the code of the DLE D2 Spanish exam.
Specifically, that second half of the written test, task two.
Exactly. We're diving deep into task two because it's that moment where you have to show, you know, real B2 fluency and organizational skill. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of candidates, the analysis of a graph, the report, or LN Forme is the way to go.
It's the preferred path, but I get the sense it's also really misunderstood.
It often is.
So our mission today is to distill the essential structure, the strategies, from the experts. We're working with the analysis from Carmen Madrid in episode 120 of her fantastic Spanish podcast, Examen DLE.
Yeah, it's a brilliant resource. And if you want to hear all of this in Spanish, you can find it at DLEzam.com.
Right. And our goal today is simple, really. We want to give you a kind of bulletproof blueprint for turning that raw data into a coherent, high-scoring text.
And it's not just about summarizing. It's about framing the facts with B2 level complexity and doing it fast.
Okay, let's unpack that. Let's set the stage. You walk in, you get 80 minutes total for the written exam, but, and this is key, you are not starting task two with a clean slate.
That's the critical stress factor right there. That 80 minutes covers both tasks.
Both of them.
Task one is usually a letter you write after listening to an audio. You hear it twice, you write 150 to 180 words. So by the time you even think about task two, you know, the clock is already ticking down.
And you've already spent a good chunk of that mental energy.
A huge chunk. And you have to switch gears, moving from a listening-based, maybe informal letter, to a completely different kind of text.
It's a massive cognitive shift. You go from, what, synthesizing audio into a letter to analyzing cold, hard data or building a complex argument.
And that transition itself can just eat up minutes if you're not prepared.
Okay, so task two. You get there, you've got maybe 40 minutes left if you're lucky. What are your options?
You're presented with two options. You have to write a second text, again, 150 to 180 words.
Option one is our focus today. That's the analysis of a graph, the report, LN form.
Right. This means you look at a visual, a bar chart or something. You identify the main trends. You compare data points. And then, this is the crucial part, you add your own layer of personal interpretation.
And option two?
Option two is the article or review. So there you're writing a persuasive opinion piece on something like a film, a book, a cultural event. It really demands strong, convincing arguments.
So exam day, you're under pressure. How do you choose?
Well, it really comes down to personality and how you've prepared.
Okay.
If you thrive on structure, if you prefer to stick to the facts you can see, and you know your data connectors.
Yeah.
Well, option one, the graph, is often the safer bet.
Because it controls the content, right? You can't really go off topic.
Exactly. The graph dictates what you write about. But if you've practiced opinion pieces, if you can generate arguments quickly, and you have a lot of topic-specific vocabulary ready,
then the article might be where you can really shine.
It could be. You might be able to show off your Spanish more broadly. The risk, of course, is word count. It's much easier to ramble when you're writing from your imagination.
And get lost, yeah.
But whichever you choose, the main goal is the same. It's non-negotiable. You have to show coherent organization, rich and varied vocabulary, and complex grammar.
Things like, what, the subjunctive, relative clauses?
All of it. Extended uses of the subjunctive, advanced relative clauses, complex sentences. That's how you prove you have the command of the language expected at B2.
So let's talk about the structure of that option one report. Because our sources suggest that if you know the structure, it's basically a cheat code to a high score.
It really is. The Cervantes Institute gives you very clear guidelines. So, for example, the official Model Zero exam asks you to imagine you're an analyst for a magazine in Cordoba, Spain.
Okay.
And you have to analyze a graph on the distinct uses of the internet by citizens. Or another example might be the evolution of coffee consumption in Spain. the topic doesn't matter as much as the five requirements listed right under the graph.
And those 5 points dictate your entire text.
They dictate the structure, yes.
Breaking that down into just 180 words, though, that's tight. Every sentence has to do a job.
It does. And you'll typically end up with 4, maybe 5 very concise paragraphs.
So walk us through them. What's the first mandatory point?
Point one is to introduce the topic in context. This is your opening. You have to set the stage. You mentioned the source of the data, the audience, you know, readers of a Cordoba magazine.
And crucially, this isn't just saying this graph shows, is it?
No, absolutely not. This paragraph in your conclusion should contain your main finding, your thesis. It needs to be something like, this graph shows X, which indicates a surprising shift in Y.
So you're not just introducing the data, you're introducing your interpretation of the data right from the start.
Right from the start. And you have to be concise. Mm. We're talking 30, maybe 40 words. Use formal expository language.
Yeah.
Phrases like, el informe presentado continuación trata sobre.
Got it. Context, source, and a clear thesis. What's next?
Point two. A general comparison of the data. You have to pick at least 2 interesting data points and compare them. Or contrast them.
And this is where you show off your connectors and your comparative language.
Exactly. This is your first big chance. You're showing relationships, not just listing numbers.
So instead of A is 70% and B is 15%, what's a B2 way to say that?
You'd use something like, mientras que el 70% utiliza las redes sociales, sin embargo, tan solo el 15% prefiere los foros de opinión. You see, that contrast word, sin embargo, is key.
It immediately elevates it from description to analysis. Okay, so we've introduced and compared. Now we go deeper.
Right. Point three is to highlight the most relevant data and explain why it's significant.
So you pick the most striking number, the highest, the lowest.
Or a statistic that just bucks the trend.
Yeah.
But the vital part is you have to explicitly say why it's relevant to your thesis.
Okay, let's use that Cordoba internet example. The data showed 86.9% of people used it for email. That's a huge number.
That's the one you highlight. You'd use a connector like cabe destacar que. Mm. It's important to highlight that. Or es significativo que.
And you don't just state the number.
You don't. You'd say something like es significativo que el correo electrónico siga siendo la actividad principal con un abrumador 86.9%, lo cual sugiere que. And then you add the meaning. Lo cual sugiere que la comunicación formal sigue siendo prioritaria.
I see. You link the data to a cultural significance. And that little phrase, lo cual, that's a perfect B2 structure.
It is. And it leads you perfectly into the next requirement.
Which is the opinion section.
Exactly. Point four, express your opinion. After you've analyzed the figures, you have to shift into subjective territory. You state your personal opinion on the causes of the trends or what might happen in the future.
Now, is that risky, putting speculation in an analytical report?
It's not risky. It's mandatory. As long as you signal it clearly.
Oh.
The source material is very clear on this. You have to start this section with an unmistakable connector. En mi opinión, a mi juicio, desde mi punto de vista.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
So there's no doubt in the examiner's mind that you're fulfilling that requirement.
None. So for the coffee graph, if you saw more young people drinking coffee, your opinion might be.
En mi opinión, el aumento del consumo no es solo una necesidad, sino un reflejo de la cultura de la imagen en redes sociales. You connect the cold data to a warm societal explanation.
That's brilliant. It's so clear. Okay, and finally, you have to wrap it up.
Point five, elaborate a conclusion. And just like the intro, it must start with a clear concluding connector. And resumen, en definitiva, por lo tanto.
And what does that conclusion do?
It has to link back to the thesis you stated in point one. It gives the whole text a nice closed feeling. It shouldn't introduce any new data. It just summarizes your findings and reiterates your main point.
So a tight intro, 2 paragraphs on data analysis, a clearly marked opinion paragraph, and a concise conclusion. It sounds demanding, but also very doable if you know the formula.
It's a formula. If you follow it, you will do well. Okay, so now that we've mastered the structure, let's turn to practical strategies. Given the time pressure and what's expected at B2, what should you be doing in the weeks leading up to the exam?
Well, first, you have to think about text type and tone. This report is an expository text.
Meaning
it has to be objective, formal. You have to avoid slang, colloquial language, too much emotion. You should be using impersonal constructions, maybe the passive voice, formal vocabulary.
Which is a very different muscle to flex than the one for option 2, the persuasive article.
A completely different muscle. It's not just about grammar. It's about choosing the right register. So my advice is to proactively read similar analytical articles in Spanish.
Like in magazines or online reports.
Exactly. And pay really close attention to how professional writers handle their introductions and conclusions. They use specific structures to hook the reader. You should copy that style.
And what about vocabulary? Is there a specific set of words we should be drilling?
Oh, absolutely. You need a dedicated vocabulary bank for this task. You should be practicing expressions to talk about stats and trends. Words like se disparó, it shot up, or experimento un argent boomed, or permanece estable.
It remains stable.
Right. Una minoría significativa. These are the B2 level lexical items that show you know what you're doing.
Okay. Practice is always the key. But let's talk about timing that practice. How should you break down your time for this task on exam day?
The time constraint is ruthless. So we recommend a really tight schedule. You should dedicate about 5 minutes just reading the instructions, looking at the graph, and outlining your 5 points on your scratch paper.
Just 5 minutes of planning.
Just 5 minutes. But it's the most important 5 minutes. Yeah. Then you give yourself about 10 to 12 minutes for the actual writing.
That's fast.
It's very fast, which leaves you a crucial 3 to 4. It guarantees it. You use that time to really look at the graph. What are the variables, the axes? What's the general trend, the tendencia? You organize your narrative before you start writing.
And when you are writing, how do you make sure you're hitting that B2 language richness beyond just, you know, not repeating words?
By consciously using those complex structures we talked about. Don't write 7 simple sentences.
Right.
Write 4 or 5 complex sentences. Use subordinating conjunctions. Link a past trend to a present consequence with a phrase like lo cual ha provocado que, which forces you to use the subjunctive. That's so much more advanced than 2 separate sentences.
Then the final tactic, the one everyone wants to skip but shouldn't, is the review.
The review is non-negotiable, and it needs to be targeted. You're not just scanning for typos.
What are you looking for?
You're hunting for concordance issues. Masculine, feminine, singular, plural agreements. This is a huge B2 pitfall, especially with complex subjects. Another one is sir versus a star when you're describing conditions in the graph. Finding and fixing those high-value errors will absolutely boost your score.
It's those little grammatical mistakes that examiners are trained to spot at this level.
They are. And one more detail, a structural one. If the instructions say the text is for a magazine or a blog,
you have to include a title.
You must include a title. A B2 candidate is expected to know the stylistic conventions of the text type. No title means you haven't fully completed the task.
So what this all means for you, the listener, is that success here is purely strategic. It seems to hinge on, what, 3 things?
I'd say so.
Strict adherence to the 5 points, developing that automatic, objective, expository style.
And maximizing your time by planning your high-level connectors and vocabulary before you even write a single word.
Right.
This report is a test of analysis, yes, but the goal is coherence and clarity. It's about showing you can use the right B2 language to analyze data and then present a concise, well-argued interpretation.
And those are real-world skills. Learning to analyze a chart in Spanish is directly applicable to presenting an argument in any professional setting.
Absolutely.
Okay, so since the report asks you to analyze trends and then speculate on causes, let's go back to that surprising detail from the Cordoba internet graph.
The email one.
The email one. 86.9% of citizens use the internet for electronic mail. That was the single biggest use. It just dwarfed social media, news, everything.
Which it's anomalous, isn't it? For modern internet trends, you have to ask, why is email so overwhelmingly dominant in this specific population?
What hidden social or maybe cultural factor could be driving that incredibly high percentage? Is it about formality? Bureaucracy, maybe?
Or maybe the demographic in the data just uses the internet mainly for professional or government communication, not for fun.
Exactly. Thinking through those unexpected sociocultural reasons and then being able to articulate them clearly in Spanish, well, that's the difference between just summarizing data and really achieving B2 mastery. Something to think about for your next practice report.